Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I am here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, December 14th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Ho, 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 almost.
Merry
Christmas.
Oh, I thought you were doing a commercial for those Hostess cupcakes or something.
No, I wouldn't do that. Almost countdown. We'll be giving our holiday schedule here probably on Friday to let listeners know what to expect with Discount Gold and Silver. But get your prices locked, and it'll be an interesting week in trading as far as Janet Yellen will be announcing whether or not they will be raising rates. Or not. Just good Lord. Yes, just good Lord, get it done and over with so we can move on to something else.
Yeah, this is almost like the Greek drama. You know, there's one that never ends.
Well, they did
talk about
same.
That maybe a little more on the program, but it's the same thing with raising interest rates. How long have we heard about raising interest rates? I mean, it's been several years, and now perhaps, oh my gosh, they're finally going to do it. Maybe.
Just get it
Maybe
done.
And we still don't know.
We still don't know.
No.
But it'll be interesting because if they do, you could see some sort of... So I think trading until, you know, we get some sort of announcement and even through the rest of the year, it's going to be real spotty. It's going to be, you know, pretty jumpy. And so any price declines in gold and silver, I'd be buying with both fists. It is a very good opportunity. And I think we're going to have a lot more volatile of a year next year, even though it's an election year. I don't think they'll be able to keep the volatility out of the markets. And but let's go ahead and see what gold did today. Gold was down at 1060. 1060 for gold today at 1064. You have silver down 23 at 1377. Some incredible buys for gold and silver. Platinum managed an upside position today, up 9 at 852, as with palladium up 6 at 550. USDX 0.01, 97.64. Crude oil up 0.56, but still at 36.18. Paper markets today, they were all over the page, but they did manage. It's just amazing. They were able to do the last hour turnaround with the Dow up 103 points at 17,368, the NASDAQ 0.18 at 49.52, the S&P up 9, 2021. 10-year yield stronger, 0.09 at 2.22%. Euro is still up there at 110.15 to the upside. European markets, Asian markets, Germany was down 2%, London was down 1.3%, Japan down almost 2%. It's amazing how our markets were able to have such a turnaround when the rest of the world, because they all kind of, you know, they're all just floating on thin ice. And
well, I looked at the market earlier this morning, and within the first hour, if I recall correctly, if I looked, you know, my eyes are a little bleary, it was over 300 points down, the Dow.
Well, they closed down big on Friday, 300 points, but the market was still down earlier. It was up, and then it was down, and then it came back. But the 300-point down was Friday's numbers. So it was probably, that's how, you know, I didn't see, I don't know if
it
I...
It was like 500 points down on Friday.
No.
They had, well, maybe, I don't know. I guess it was right after first cup of coffee and the rest of that sort of thing. I had the impression they were down.
No, it was 300. Morning. They were down, but not 300 points. But anyway, but I think, again, we're going to see a lot of volatility in the markets. And if gold and silver reflects negatively on Wednesday by that announcement, folks should be prepared to buy and buy as much as they can. And it's going to be an interesting year. Very little discussion on the Third Avenue Credit Fund that went belly up last week. And but they're not the only ones. There's a lot of other mutual funds that hold a lot of junk bonds in their portfolios, and a lot of them are close to defaulting. And last week, the fund announced it was liquidating, and they blocked investors from getting their money back. Now you're going to hear Wall Street talk about, oh, this is a very rare event in a little in an industry, the mutual fund. Yeah, well, you know, get used to it, folks. This is not going to be a little sweepy event anymore. But they place a lot of focus on extremely risky and difficult to trade assets, and that's where that's how these markets, that's how these statements everybody gets. They're all in risky. All in risky trades in order to bring in the percentage that's what people want. What was interesting, in July, this fund was at $2.1 billion in July, and on Thursday it was 788. So that's a massive, massive heavy loss.
788 million.
That's correct.
Yeah, I understand.
Just in a few months. So they told investors that they were liquidating, and they blocked further redemptions.
Won't be paid.
And what the problem is, you know, they think that they're going to outsmart the market by holding off to sell small portions of its assets so they don't get, so it doesn't go into free fall. But in the other time, if I was looking to buy any of their assets, I'd still wait. So they're still going to have to bring in and sell their assets at extremely low prices. So it's going to go into free fall one way or another. It's just a matter of, is it going to be orderly or not?
So. And the other point is this. If they sold off everything right now, then presumably the business would be liquidated right now and they'd be out of their jobs. They can drag the process out for a few more months. They may even get a Christmas bonus. But they still have a job as long as they are. Somebody's got to caretake this stuff, and perhaps that's part of the thinking.
And what's interesting is more companies have defaulted because what I was reading about how the junk bond market and the plunging prices for oil, and I'm going to say oil in particular, they certainly mentioned the other raw materials like copper, iron, and so forth. But I think the big deal is the oil. And but you have companies that have defaulted on their debt this year than at any point since 2009. More companies have defaulted since 2009, at any point since 2009. So, you know, it's hard to believe that she'll be able to raise rates because, you know, you just don't see. It's going to put a lot of pressure on even more of these companies, but anyway.
Well, I don't know. It is strange. It'll put pressure on the bonds.
Absolutely.
That's where this is going to show up. And it will reduce the price of bonds because the interest rate is going to go up a little bit. And you wouldn't think it amounts to anything, but right now the interest rates on bonds are already so, relatively speaking, they're so low that bonds are just about as high as they can possibly be. So if you raise the interest rates on bonds just a little, it may reduce the price on bonds quite a lot, which can have, you know, people that are holding them, we're going to lose interest. And
no matter what happens on Wednesday, I think we're going to see some sort of a knee-jerk reaction. And that's what folks have to remember. No matter what happens at that one given time, you really do have to look beyond that and to see what projection. And again, this is where the fundamentals come into play. You know, the fundamentals aren't going to respond in a knee-jerk reaction manner, but you might see prices. And that's why I said if you see any prices that drop, it'd be really good buying opportunities. Just to make an announcement, Greg Hunter will be on the program tomorrow. He'll be joining us during the first segment of the program, so make sure you tune in tomorrow for Greg Hunter of the USA Watchdog. And you have something here about how the Dow Jones, Al, could begin a 70% decline in just a few weeks. And this is from a mainstream, you know, Wall Street article.
It's from the street.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the interesting thing about it. The headline is Why Dow Jones Industrial Average Could Begin a 70% Decline in the Next Few Weeks. And this is coming from a mainstream media outlet. That's a strange headline. I am surprised to see that. They justify this prediction based on chart phenomena. There is a pattern that you can see right now in the Dow charts. That they call it a megaphone is one name for it. The other name for it is the jaws of death. And they're alleging that because they are in this chart pattern is the reason why the Dow Jones Industrial Average could begin a 70% decline in the next few weeks. Well, I'm skeptical of that because I just tend to be skeptical of charting in the first place because so far as I'm able to understand, there is so much manipulation taking place in the markets that somebody is simply deciding, well, today let's have 17,500 and tomorrow we'll have 17,300 and the day after that we'll have 17,800. And if the powers that be are essentially setting the indices on any given day, or at least influencing them to some significant degree, then I don't see the value of charts. Now, people can debate whether the markets are manipulated or not, and I may think that they're manipulated, and I may be mistaken in that, but I'm not alone. A lot of people believe that, and there's certainly been evidence to support it. So the significance of this headline to me is not that there is a megaphone pattern or a jaws of death pattern, because I don't see how, if the market is manipulated, the pattern means anything. Tomorrow the number can be anything they want it to be, in theory. All right? To me, I look at this headline and I think the powers that be have perhaps ordered a mainstream media outlet, the street, to give, you know, pre-warning where that there's going to be a 70% decline starting in the next few weeks, and we'll blame it on the charts. The charts will be responsible, but it won't be it won't be the powers that be who have simply decided to drop the market. Now, I'm not going to argue that my little conspiracy theory is valid, but my main point is I wouldn't expect the street to release this kind of headline and suggest a 70% decline is coming in the next, or at least beginning in the next few weeks. I wouldn't expect to see that headline unless it was going to happen. There's a reason for this. I don't believe the reason is the charts. I think there's still reason for this, and I think the headline might be true. All right. Maybe yes, maybe no. But I think the headline might be true, 70% decline. Maybe so. But I don't think it's because of the charts, and that's the way they try to write this off, and that I disagree with. I don't, what do you think, Melody? Is it charting, or is it fundamentals, or what's going to make the market go down, up or down one way or another?
Well, I agree. I mean, I do believe when you have everything that is so manipulated, it's very difficult to, you know, base anything on charts. It's not real. They're just as good as the information that you put in, and we know that the information that we get is not as reliable as it should. You know, the stats that we get from the government and so forth. But it is interesting because we all believe we're going to see a 70% drop in the stock market. And, you know, we all believe we've been waiting. You know, we certainly see and report on, you know, the various situations that will cause the market to drop by 70%, not just charts. So, you know, I agree with you. Believe it or not, Al, I agree with you.
Oh, I know you always agree with me. Melody, you sometimes you won't say that, but I know that deep down she's, yeah, he's right.
And
he's
ditto.
Right, yeah,
yeah. And ditto. Uh-huh. I don't think I ever heard you say you'd agreed with me, but anyway. But no, I think we're in some rough times, and I do. I think this is some sort of a warning, and you know, these guys are a little bit out, and charts are a little bit, you know, have a little bit of psychology behind them too. So you might see, you know, and by releasing something like this, you will see people trade on this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, even though the facts might not, you know, be there, but people will trade based on this. So they should anyway.
You would just,
I'd be getting the heck out of Dodge if I saw this chart.
You would just be, it's surprising that they would say, by the way, prices are going to start a 70% fall in the next few weeks. I mean, this is like shouting fire in the theater or something like that. Yeah, it's surprising for that reason. If they said, oh, 10%, 20%, 30%, 70%, it just surprises me. It seems almost irresponsible unless someone in a position of power has told them, look, here's the headline, run with it. And so they have. So we'll find out. If we can judge, we're talking before the end of January, and they didn't say that the markets would fall 70% the next 2 weeks. The headline said that the markets would begin to fall 70% in the next few weeks. So they're allowing for, who knows, a fall that might take place over a period of several more weeks or even months. I don't know. Still, surprising headline. Let's take a break. I think it's time for a couple of commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisk here on Financial Survival with co-host Melody Cederstrom. Program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. Also, dgscoins.com. What's next, Melody?
Well, you know, during the break, I was just getting ready to tell you. Sometimes I go to Drudge and I look at their headlines, and once in a while they'll pick up things. And I just get amazed at these headlines. I mean, it's not that I don't read all their articles. I do other reading, financial reading and so forth throughout the day. But it just amazes me. And I look at these headlines and I think, what the heck of kind of a world are we living in? It's just, I mean, the headlines are just bizarre. You know, they do talk about oil dipping below 35 and it reverses a course after nearing 11-year lows. Suicide rates roars in wake of this crisis, you know, because of the boom and bust, and the suicide rates soar in wake of, this is Canada's oil. It's just like, okay.
Canadians, I mean, are killing themselves?
You know, that's what the article relates to. Hmm. Then we talked about just a couple of weeks ago, we talked about that big Navy ship with that, they originally had orders for 35, but because of the cost, they could only do 3. And I mean, this was a super sleek, Navy.
Literal, I think is the term.
They had to tow it back.
Yep.
Okay. You talk about
Tennessee for 3 weeks had to be towed back. And the reason was the alleged reason was because there were too many metal filings in the oil in the engine. Now, of course, there isn't supposed to be any, but something is wrong there. I mean, I don't know what that is. You have filters, you have some kind of procedure to guarantee that there are no filings in the assembled engines. Hard to say what happened, but this is something extremely stupid or treasonous has taken place here. This just shouldn't be happening, but it did. So they're towing. I don't know what this ship costs, but certainly millions, if not billions of dollars. I bet it's in the billion-dollar range, isn't it?
No, I don't recall. But still, the fact, I mean, where's the quality control? I mean,
I don't know. I don't know. This is almost like sabotage or something. I mean, how did they get that? And even if, I mean, if you get filings in the engine, in the oil, in the engine that's running the ship, there should be filters to where that oil is constantly being circulated, the filter should take the filings out. This should not have been a surprise. They should have been able to see this. They should have been able to sense this. They should have been able to say, uh-oh, shut the engines down. We've got too many filings in here. But apparently they kept driving along for 3 weeks until they ground the engine down to where it wouldn't run properly. I don't know what's going to happen here, but somebody's career is probably going to get a big change. You're gonna, but in any case,
or have we really reached a peak in our abilities to? I mean, look at Boeing when the new planes that they built, you know, and they had problems with the lithium batteries, you know, catching fire. Even in those little, what do they call those hoverboards and stuff with the lithium batteries, you know, they catch fire. So it's amazing that they just produce this and release. They produce and release. And
well, that's one of the, that goes to a real interesting question and problem. We have drugs that are released into the market, and the FDA allegedly is keeping track of the drugs to make sure that they're safe for human consumption, but I don't think they're doing a very effective job. And I don't think they much care. And I don't think the major pharmaceutical industry cares either. If they've got a new drug, then a new sales routine that works, and they can raise a couple $1 billion, and it costs them, and before it's done, they lose a couple million or tens of millions or whatever in fines later on, I don't think they care if anybody's being hurt. All right? And there's something. You get the feeling, and I don't know that this feeling is valid, but I get the feeling, right, that nobody really cares. Is the product good, bad, or indifferent? It's irrelevant. The only question is, does it make money now? And if so, where's mine? Where's my cut?
That's how anything is anymore, almost with anything.
It seems like that. And yeah, it may be that I'm just overly pessimistic, overly negative on this sort of thing. And it may be, you know, I take a few small examples and extrapolate into larger conclusions than the evidence warrants. But there is something where people don't seem to take a pride in the product. We take pride in how much money we made. And that's a big difference in mindset. And I would bet, I'd bet that a bunch of people listening to the program said, what's he talking about? Taking pride in the product? You know, of course we take pride in how much money we made. I mean, there was a time, and it wasn't that long ago, when people were really took pride in the product. And to some extent, it's still true. But there seems to have been a shift.
Yes.
And you wonder about it. You look at it and say, is this tolerable? Is it survivable? Is it even significant?
Well, you know what, Al?
Just in my mind.
We've allowed China to produce all kinds of trinkets with no quality control whatsoever. We've seen them ship the crap over here. We have dogs dying, pets dying, food, you know. So, and you know what? Nobody really cares.
No.
Not
how much money
you,
is it making?
No, nobody. And I think that had a lot to do with, you know, it sort of brought down our quality, our idea of, no, if I'm going to buy something, I want something of quality. And it is just, it's more, now it's how much can I save?
Yep.
You know, and so it's...
And it has to be that way to some extent because jobs have disappeared. And wages have disappeared. And the wealth and prosperity that we enjoyed at one point in this country, and when I'm talking about, you know, when I was a kid, you know, again, I've said it a bunch of times, the whole place looked like it had a fresh coat of paint. It was something remarkable, and I can remember it. I wasn't all that impressed at the time. I just thought, this is great. I was just a kid. But everything looked bright and shiny to me. And today, it doesn't seem that way. We seem to be sliding deeper and deeper into, we need a coat of paint. We need a couple of coats of paint. We need, you know, I mean.
Sure, look at our infrastructure of this country anymore. And what can we do? We're a country that's bankrupt.
Identify the problem. That's the first thing you do. You diagnose the problem. And from my perspective, my argument would be that the problem ultimately is this fiat.
Absolutely,
currency.
It is. Absolutely,
right?
It is.
This country, we have not According to some studies, we haven't increased our standard of living since 1970. The 1970s, excuse me, not the year of 1970, but the 1970s. What does that relate to? 1971 is when they closed the gold window and finally turned the dollar into a pure fiat currency, a pure debt-based currency. And once you accept the idea that you can take debt and use it as money, take a debt and use it as an asset, once you accept that, it is irrational. It's crazy. It can't work forever. It has worked for the last 40-odd years, but we are, you know, the nation has that momentum. It's like a ship moving through the ocean, even if you shut the engine off. Right, it's going to continue to move through the ocean for some considerable distance before it finally comes to a halt. Well, we are just living at times where things are strange, peculiar, and people are so stressed that they are inclined to cut corners. And nobody's watching. Nobody cares. We accept the argument. We accept the argument that the guy across the street had to cut corners in order to keep his job and keep making enough money to put food on the table for himself and his family. We kind of accept that. We accept it for ourselves that we can cut, that we can reduce the quality, and it's a dangerous, it's certainly not an ideal situation. It's understandable, but if you want to solve the situation, identify the fundamentals. This is the problems we have that we have to deal with when the government say, oh my gosh, we got this problem, we got that problem, but they don't exactly tell us why. If they do, I think they're generally lying to us. Once we got into that fiat currency, we put ourselves in a pathway that could only lead to bankruptcy and destruction. And what we've been doing with this phony baloney debt-based monetary system, we have been doing the same thing as little Greece. We've been doing for the last 40 years what little Greece has been doing for the last 6 years. The whole idea is Greeks can't pay their bills. That's the problem. And they're going to come up with one device after another to try to paper over that fact and pretend, yes, we can pay our bills. We've been doing the same thing. Our government hasn't been able to pay the national debt for decades, and particularly since 1971. We haven't been able to pay the national debt. And rather than admit that, we have gone through a series of one contrivance after another to try to hold this house of cards together. And what I've said on this program a number of times in relationship to Greece is Greece should emulate Iceland. Iceland got into a bind. Iceland said, that's it, we quit, we're filing for bankruptcy, we can't pay the bill, we're not going to try to do the impossible, we're going to file for bankruptcy, and they did, and within 18, 24 months, they were basically back on their feet. They went through a very difficult time for 18 to 24 months. But then things are turned around, and they began to Detroit. They've been in financial ruin for a decade or more, and yet they finally filed for bankruptcy about a year ago. And just recently, they turned up with a $35 million surplus. That may not be a lot of money, but it has turned around. It doesn't mean their situation has been completely saved and resolved, but it means that they are now in the black rather than in the red. That's cause for celebration, and it flows from filing divorce.
Divorce from the debt.
Yes. I'm recommending the same thing for the United States. We have tried to get around the fact that our government is bankrupt. We've been trying to duck that reality, just like the Greeks have been trying it. They've been trying it, and they've resulted in 6 years of austerity. We've been trying it for 40-some years, and what we wound up with is a stagnant economy that hasn't grown. Jobs have disappeared, illegal aliens pour in. The whole place has fallen apart, and it goes in part because we're trying to avoid the truth. We're bankrupt. All right? And if we were to file for bankruptcy, essentially, I don't know how you would get around to filing a national bankruptcy, but that's what it's going to come down to. I don't mean that it would wipe out the debt, every mortgage and car payment and the rest. I'm talking about the national debt. If the government just said, look, we're broke, we can't pay the bills, sorry, there would be hell to pay for a couple of years. And then things would smooth out. And then I believe, I strongly suspect, can't prove it, but I believe we'd start saying, look, we're out of debt. We can actually start, we can start building again instead of going deeper into debt and deeper into debt to try to pay the interest on the existing debt. The whole thing is insane. We are just like Greece, and we've been doing Greece's routine for the last 40 years. Oh, Greece, you're stupid. We're the ones that are just as dumb. And sooner or later, we're going to deal with that bankruptcy. We're going to deal with the fact that the debt can't be paid. And the longer we wait, the more trouble we're going to see. I know that if you try to persuade people, oh, we'll file for national bankruptcy. Well, you can say that easily said and as a practical reality. I would be astonished if it could be implemented except at the point of a gun.
Well, it couldn't be done now because you'd have the stock market that is tied. And I mean, that would go from 18,000 or 17,000 down to 1,000.
Yeah, it might.
And you know.
And then what? But if
it's going there anyway, it might not
start out without any debt.
It might not go to 1,000, but, you know, it will be. I think it'll go to 5,000. I think that's the level right now that we'll eventually see the Dow Jones and you know, you're going to see, you know, the S&P back at 500 and, you know, the NASDAQ back at 1,000, but or lower. But that will be the problem because you have the American people that their wealth, their retirements, and everything is tied up into that stock market. There's very few that have taken precautions like our listeners have to protect themselves against something like that happening. You know, to where they have purchased gold and silver as a way to preserve their purchasing power through these difficult times. And when the stock market crashes, it's like that teeter-totter. You got paper investments on one end, you got the gold and silver on the other end. One goat, theoretically, doesn't happen dollar for dollar. It doesn't happen day by day. But over a period of time, you have your Dow go up, your paper investments go up, you're going to see pressure on gold. It reverses. You're going to have pressure on that paper, and your gold and silver are going to rise. It just works that way. And if people just, you know, they love that paper. And they have a very hard time eliminating or adjusting to where they preserve their purchasing power by a certain percentage of it. And you don't have to put all your paper in gold and silver, but get it insured. But it's just such a no-brainer.
You know, the problem is the paper is all speculative.
Yeah.
And people like to gamble and people like to make a fast buck. And paper can do that for you. It can get you a fast buck. It can also wipe you out. Right? We talk about the stock market dropping down by 70%. Well, maybe it will and maybe it won't. But if it does, a lot of wealth will be lost. And if it falls further, you get down to where virtually all of the wealth could be lost. That can't happen with the gold or silver. All right? Paper can disappear. It can disappear in a cloud of smoke. You can't make the gold and silver disappear. And it's a consideration that most people don't get. They don't understand that we are at a time, too many promises, too much paper. Paper can't all be paid. There's going to be a problem. Get out of paper. And if you do, you need to get into something tangible like gold or silver. Most people don't get that because they're of a speculative mindset rather than I could still invest in IBM because I think tomorrow it's going up by 12%. Right? All right, if you want to speculate, speculate. If you want to invest, look at gold and silver. Let's take a break for some commercials. Melody and I will be back here on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Well, we do have some good news. Oil, gasoline prices.
Yeah. Average gasoline price.
excuse me.
Headline here is average gas price soon under $2, lowest since recession. Gasoline is close to breaking below a key psychological barrier as drivers enjoy some of the cheapest pump prices since the recession. The nationwide average price a gallon of gas of regular Saturday was $2.02. Nationwide average, $2.02, down 58 cents from this time last year. That's according to the Auto Club. AAA. Experts say it could drop below $2 a gallon in the coming days. Drivers in about half the states are already paying less than $2. South Carolina has the lowest average price at $1.79 a gallon. At the high end, Californians are paying $2.65, and Hawaiians are shelling out $2.76. For consumers, this winter is shaping up to be a good one. Energy-wise, forecasters predict warmer weather than normal, and fuel prices are low. So, I don't know. We've got some good news here. It seems like it's good news. Price of gasoline is at almost spectacular lows. You know, I can remember when gasoline was a quarter a gallon.
I do too.
Yeah, I understand that. But a quarter gallon back then was a quarter of a silver dollar. Huh? If you were to do that today, you'd be talking, when we were paying a quarter for a gallon of gasoline, and the dollar was still, $1 was still 1 ounce of silver, if you translated that in today, in terms of the price of silver today, say just $14, say $14 an ounce, a quarter would be $3.50 a gallon. We are actually, as strange and bizarre as it seems, the price of crude oil, you know, if you calculate it against the price of silver, it's a fraction of what it was when I was back 40, 50 years ago. That's a pretty astonishing assertion. That's a pretty astonishing item of evidence. I mean, how can it be that gasoline is actually, after you calculate for inflation or whatever, we can make the argument that gasoline is cheaper today than it was in the 1950s and 60s? That has to give you some clue, not only to the extraordinary efficiency that's available for pulling oil out of the ground, but also the collapsed demand, the excess supply, and also how fragile the oil industry must be. How many people do you know that could be selling a product today that costs the, on an inflationary, on, when you calculate for a real inflation against price of silver, for example, how many companies, people, businesses, whatever, could be selling a product for less money today than they charged back in the 1950s and early 1960s? And how many couldn't do that to stay in business? You know, I'm just fumbling through this idea a little bit as it crosses my mind, but this is evidence that the petroleum industry is in big, big trouble. And how do you suppose that trouble is going to play out, Melody? Bonds.
Exactly. I mean, we've already
seen bonds.
We've already seen the debt that these these banks are going to have to be faced with, or these defaults, I should say.
Yeah.
We went over the numbers last week, and again, you don't get these knee jerk reactions all the time. Sometimes you get them, sometimes you don't. But it's, you know, let's look at this in about, you know, next year, the first of the, you know, January, and there are no good predictions coming out of it.
No, I understand. And
you know, we talk about low gasoline prices, and all you hear about is the consumer will be able to take the savings from the gasoline and spend that in another area. Well, they've done so to a little bit, the restaurants and so forth, but how long is that going to last?
No, I understand. It's one of these things where we sit back and it's a certain amount of cheerleading and happy days are here again because gas prices are low. Well, yeah, but what's it going to do to the industry? What's it going to do to the bonds that have been issued by companies that were involved in fracking and whatever? They're not going to be able to pay those bonds back. Now, they were junk bonds, and they were risky. Everybody knew that going in. But you have to wonder, what are the consequences going to be? Yay, we're getting gas. This is below $2 a gallon. Well, yay. It may be that's enough to collapse the bond market, or at least the junk bond market. And then what? The world has simply, again, there's a kind of madness going on here, and everybody, it's like being on the Titanic, and everybody is, they're not looking for a life preserver. They want a seat in the salon where they can still get another, where they can get a couple of fast drinks before the ship goes under. I don't know. You look at it at times, and what fools these mortals be, and you wonder, are those mortals the fools? Am I part of the fools? It's hard to say sometimes, but you look at this and you think, gasoline, when you compare it against, if you were to make that comparison to silver and run it backwards, we're getting gasoline for the equivalent of something like a silver dime. Yeah, we are. We're getting gasoline close to the price of a silver dime back when I was a kid. I don't see how that can continue. I don't see how that can work. It just tells me there's going to be some trouble. You're going to have some splaining to do, Lucy. Okay? When they find out you've been selling gasoline for a silver dime a gallon, how can this all hold together? And again, once you see that, it gives you a clue. Not evidence, not proof, that we are in difficult, dangerous times. And anyone who's telling you happy days are here again, you need to look at them and squint your eyes a little bit and see, are these guys telling me the truth? Or are they just trying to sell me something? You need to start thinking for yourself, and you need to start looking at whatever evidence you find that you think is relevant. Make up your mind whether you want to speculate. Let's get in there. I think I can make a fast 3.275% tomorrow if I just make this particular investment in paper. Unless, of course, the whole thing collapses before I get to it, in which case I'm wiped out. Maybe you got to be an investor. Maybe in times like these, when the speculation appears to me at least to be on the verge of failing, maybe it's time to be an investor. Start taking a longer term perspective. I'm not worried about the price, what it's going to be tomorrow or next week or next month. I'm going to start thinking about prices for 3 years from now, a year from now, 5 years from now. That's investing. All right? Just a question of perspective, time perspective. And when you do that, you know, Warren Buffett, he made the statement, don't invest in anything that you wouldn't be happy. He said, don't invest in anything. I can paraphrase. I can't remember the exact quote. But he said, if you're going to invest in something, make sure it's something that you would be happy to just put it off to the side, not even look at it, for the next 10 years. You invest in it with the confidence that it will be valuable, more valuable, 10 years from now. Don't even need to look at it. Just put it in a box, just put it in the closet, forget about it. We'll open it up in 10 years and see what it's worth. That was his recommendation. Well, what would you dare to invest in today? And Buffett, of course, one of the most fabulous investors in the history of the market.
Yeah, he's an insider, Al.
Well, whatever he is,
he didn't do
succeeded.
Anything.
Whatever he's doing, he succeeded.
Just like his train. The only reason Obama keeps cutting the Keystone deal is so Buffett can continue to move the oil on his trains. That was a smack on the back, a nice handshake after the Great Recession when Buffett was funneling money to Bank of America to keep them from defaulting. So Obama said, oh, yeah, that's how I see it. So, you know, Buffett is he's just another elite.
My point is he handles a lot of money. He is someone that you might be able to rely on for some sort of investment advice.
If you'd rather rely on the local
shoeshine boy or the jockey down at the racetrack, go ahead. That's all right with me. I'm saying Buffett, when he makes a statement like that, 10 years, don't invest in it if it's not going to be good for 10 years without you touching it. If you folks were going to make an investment, right, and he made one way or another that
Buffett
philosophy.
Buffett is an atheist, too. A self-proclaimed atheist.
So what? So what's that got to do with this? I'm saying if you thought his investment strategies had any value, you would not want to invest in anything that you couldn't comfortably put in a box and say just let it sit for 10 years. Now, if you accept that argument, what would you invest in besides gold or silver? I don't care what stock you care to mention. Mention stock. Google, Amazon. You think they're going to be where they are 10 years from now? The market moves so fast that what goes up also goes down, and it goes up and down rapidly in many instances. Would you be more comfortable having stock in Amazon for 10 years? Or take the same amount of money, put it into gold for 10 years?
Amazon can't even make a profit, but Bezos makes billions of dollars a year. Welcome to the new world of investing.
Hustle.
Yeah.
The new world hustle. It's not a new world order. It's a new world hustle.
But their little world continues. And hey, if Musk says they need to get to Mars before Earth blows, hey, let them all go.
Oh,
it'd be a good. It'd be a good place for them all. Let all the billionaires go to Mars. They deserve it. They're all a bunch of nuts.
There's also rumors that they're building, that they have built underground facilities to protect all the key figures in government and super wealthy and whatever. And they allegedly have tunnels that are crossing the country that connect all these underground facilities. And in the event that the world comes to a real crashing halt, they're going to hide down in the underground facilities, and they'll have plenty of food and whatever, and the rest of us are going to be left to make it up here on the surface. And I say, let them crawl in those holes, and let's just find the doors and see if we can seal them. While they're down there hiding in the underground, let's just make sure the doors don't open again. I don't think we need those people. Nowhere near as much as they need us.
Yeah.
Well, so we shall see. What do we got left, Melody? 45 seconds, minute?
Pretty much. Trump, I guess, there was one other poll that came out that he's back up at 41%. I'm not quite sure which poll it was, but certainly after the difficult week last week, according to the results of the latest Monmouth University poll, not quite sure where that is, but the Iowa poll still shows Ted Cruz as ahead. But, you know, you can take these polls one way, you know, depending on who runs them and so forth. But I guess there is a debate this week. So that'll be,
yeah,
I think it'll be in, is it this evening?
I think so. I think it's this evening. The Republicans are going to, apparently they're not going to get as many people listening to them as they have in the past. Because we're not even sure when the debate is going to be. If everyone were interested, we'd probably have a better idea when the debate was going to take place.
I didn't know.
It was a little steam, but just the same. I don't know. I'll try to watch if I get a chance. Just to see what kind of a performance Trump is going to put on.
No, it's the 15th.
All right. If it is, then it's tomorrow.
And the Republican debate is in Nevada.
Okay.
It's
okay with me?
Yeah.
We'll talk more about the Republican debate, or we will debate something, mañana, when we get Greg Hunter on here. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball. Money, money, money must be funny.